Joining me right now, as promised, Jeremy Kahn. I always turn to Jeremy for Baltimore Ravens information. He is the co-host of the Big Bad Morning Show, 6 to 10 on 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. Jeremy, great to catch up with you again.
You too, Jim. How are you?
Wonderful. Looking forward to this one, and looking forward to it from the standpoint of the Steelers having much more of a pulse than I anticipated when they were going into the bye week. I don't know that they really have the playoff shot that some people are pointing it out to be or making it out to be, but they are still technically alive. How is this game being portrayed in Baltimore right now, especially with Lamar Jackson's injury being at the forefront of everybody's mind?
Well, you know how we always feel here when these two teams meet, you throw the records out and everything else, but we'd feel much more confident if Lamar was there. I mean, the Steelers have had success against the Ravens, what is it, four times in a row now, where we haven't seen what we'd like to see here in Baltimore. But fact of the matter is they're at the top of the division, and you know, we went over it this week saying, well, what is the identity of this team? It feels like things have changed. It's not necessarily the run game. It's not the pass game. It's been winning ugly and finding ways to win late and finding ways to win lose. But it's been one of those odd seasons where it's really hard to put your finger on it. A lot of people here point at the offensive play calling. I don't know if you guys are ready to – I know how much Pittsburgh is not a fan of Matt Canada, so maybe we do a swap or see whose offensive coordinator is worse. But, I mean, it's been beating up Greg Roman for weeks now for his passing game and for play calling. It's just been brutal. So fans here, I feel like a lot of them are ready to move on. And it's weird saying that with a team that's in first place and it's 8-4.
So have they officially ruled out Lamar Jackson, or are they still sort of playing the maybe game? What's the word from down there?
I think it's just like a little gamesmanship from them. I mean, I know you did some work up New England. It's run a lot similar down here where they don't want to tell you anything. Even on the injury report, it never says quad. It never says hamstring. It says thigh injury. They're very secretive about everything. So when the news came out that it was a PCL injury, I don't expect him to play. If anybody's ever had that before, it can be painful, like going up and down stairs, and your leg gets stiff at times, so it's kind of hard to cut. So they want to give him as much time to get him ready and not rush him back. They're saying 1 to 3 weeks. So I don't expect him back this week at all. I think it's Tyler Huntley's week to play. Other than that, you know, we're still waiting on some of the other guys to get back too, like Ronnie Stanley. And, you know, there's been a lot of key injuries to this team, same as last year, but different areas this time around. I think the defense is really good, but you know, I think they're going to have to help carry this offense a little bit if Lamar is out an extended period of time.
I believe the presumption here in Pittsburgh is, to your point, it's going to be Huntley, at least in this first game between the two teams. And I didn't see anything that impressed me from him last year against the Steelers. I thought he was maybe better in some other games that he played aside from the Steelers game at the end of the season. What's the opinion down there of him, and how was it at all altered with the way things went against the Broncos?
Yeah, I think, you know, last year was interesting too, because he got in against Chicago, found a way to win a game. And then people were crowning him like, oh, Huntley, this kid's going to be great. And maybe you can trade him for something, this and that. And then you watched him the last few games of the year. You're like, I don't know. He seems like a backup and plays kind of like a backup should. And even last week when he came in the game and getting experience last year, Greg Roman, I mean, I think his yards per attempt were under 6. They were just throwing stuff off the line of scrimmage. And I don't know, like the Steelers have a top 10 rush defense, maybe top 7, something like that, depending on where you're looking. And the fact is, you know, if they're not able to run the football against them, you're going to rely on this guy. And I know his rushing yards will be added into it, but he's not the guy. He's not going to stack wins for you. He's not going to be the reason you win, but he can be the reason you lose. So he does have some ability, but I think if the Ravens win on Sunday, I think a lot of it's going to have to do with him taking off with his feet and more importantly, not turning the ball over.
It strikes me that he's Lamar Jackson light, like Mick Ultra light versus a dragon's milk or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Like people try to say, even when he comes in the game, they're like, oh yeah, they can run the same offense because he and Huntley are so similar. There are similarities, but it's not quite there. There's a huge difference. I mean, I'm not a big guy as far as putting records by quarterback's name. I've always hated that. But I've never seen a player like Lamar that has so much to do with a team winning all the time. And Tyler Huntley's not that guy. He's not the same type of player. He doesn't have the same explosiveness. He can have some wow plays, make you miss, and do some special things out there. even at times throwing the football in practice. People really like the way he looks, but I don't know, maybe a little bit of a disconnect from practice to game. So I don't know that I'm necessarily buying it. I think he can help them win. The big question is, does he help them lose? Because I think last time he played you guys, he had two interceptions and a fumble that he lost. So if that's happening, it's doom and gloom for the Ravens.
Jeremy Kahn from 105.7 The Fan down in Baltimore, talking Ravens Steelers with him. So the Steelers are right now, depending on where you look, between 2.5 to 3 point favorites in this game. Do you think they should be?
With Lamar being out, yes. And if you watch the way that Ravens played, I mean, they came off their bye and faced Carolina and barely got out of Dodge with a W. And then they go on the road and have the hiccup in Jacksonville, where this team with double-digit leads, for whatever reason, it's become kind of a narrative. They've blown three of them this year in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, what's going on with that? Why has that been such an issue for them this year?
I think some of it has to do with play calling. In all honesty, I don't know if you remember way back when Andy Reid was in Philly and they had Brian Westbrook, and they had trouble closing out games because they couldn't run the football with, you know, a power scheme. It was more of a finesse type of running game. So when they stacked the box, you know, things, you were seeing them not make plays. And the weird thing is, with the Ravens' running ability, even though it hasn't shown this year, you figure they'd have more options in the passing game. But it's just like, it's a comedy of errors, whether it's Lamar with a fumble, a bad snap, a penalty that takes you out of field goal range. You know, even in the Jacksonville game, watching guys like Gus Edwards, getting him back was huge. And now he's been hurt two separate times coming back, but he fumbles in the game. And, you know, you weren't expecting that, especially in your own territory. So that happened. And then last week we had the Broncos game, which even afterwards Harbaugh gets on the podium and goes, "That's still Russell Wilson out there." And I'm listening to him going, "That guy had 7 touchdown passes. I mean, stop it. You guys played like trash. You got the hell out of Dodge with a W. You know, you tweak some things, change some things, realize it's great to get a win, but man, it's been really ugly here." And that was the Broncos on an East Coast trip going on back-to-back road games. And we got them in the second leg. So why couldn't the Ravens put that thing to bed early? It's been ugly football, but again, they sit in first place. So most people are like, a win is a win, where I don't know about you. I look at things, if you win an ugly game, you can coach off of that and tweak some things. I mean, it doesn't have to stay the same. It's not that you didn't win because you did something good.
Well, to be all end all of that is when Baltimore came to Pittsburgh in 2020 in the COVID year, when they had half of a roster and nearly beat the Steelers. And a lot of folks walked away and said, "Hey, they're still unbeaten." And next thing you know, they lose to what was then the Redskins, and they were one of the worst teams in football going into the playoffs and got annihilated by Cleveland in the first round. So, yeah, I agree with you. I think that's the ultimate example, maybe a hyperbolic example, but an example nonetheless of what you're talking about. So I guess then, to the greater point, Jeremy, if they're 8-4 right now and they've got Cleveland and Atlanta after Pittsburgh before getting the Steelers again in Baltimore on New Year's Day, what's the vibe in Baltimore about their division chances, their playoff chances, if it truly is a 3-week injury for Lamar and his first game back is Pittsburgh again in week 17 on New Year's Day?
Yeah, you know as well as I do, these divisional games are paramount. I mean, you know, you got two left with the Steelers, and let's say you guys take both of those, and it does kind of put you right back in the mix. Deshaun Watson's back for Cleveland now, and I mean, he looked terrible on Sunday, but you know, what if he starts to figure it out? And Cleveland's, you know, there's a little bit of a rivalry here, obviously, with the Ravens being formerly the Browns. So, and then lastly with Cincinnati, who looks really, really good right now. So I think there is some fans here that are kind of just waiting for that other shoe to drop. If the Ravens win Sunday, I heard they have a 99% chance of making the playoffs. But ultimately, I think they end up getting in. The big question is whether they win their division. And if they get in, are they healthy and are they looking like the Ravens that we've seen, you know, 2 and 3 years ago? Because this team right now, it's like there's no identity whatsoever. Like, they came out against the Buccaneers and threw the ball the entire first half. They win the game in the second half by running the football, and then they tell the fan base that was the game plan, to wear them out throwing the football. And I'm like, what are you even talking about? That doesn't even make sense. So I don't know. There's just something off about this team. And they keep playing ugly games. And they're good enough to find ways to win. And I'll tell you what, I think this defense is legit and figuring it out. Roquan Smith he's been as advertised. That guy's ridiculously good. So, you know, they've got a lot of decisions to make in the offseason, because They got to figure out Lamar and then figure out Roquan as well if they're going to try to keep him. So it's going to be an interesting year, and it's going to be a really interesting offseason with Lamar.
What do you think is going to happen with that?
I think they're forced to pay up, man. I don't know that you can let him walk. The only two options I see here is that you trade him, you move in a different direction, and then you're back out there looking for quarterbacks. And I don't know what you guys think about Pickett just yet, but, you know, you're in that mold now of trying to find your guy again, and that's a scary place to be. When you have a guy, you know it. And, I mean, I like the idea of it, but a guaranteed contract for a player, that's tough, and the Ravens have never gone that route. But ultimately, I think they're going to have to bite the bullet. We might see the franchise game a little bit here, at least for 1 year. I don't know about two, but, I mean, Lamar doesn't feel like he's budging, so I feel like they're going to have to give him what he wants to move forward or find some ulterior thing. I mean, it worked out for teams like, I mean, Seattle's got the third pick or the fourth pick right now in the draft because they made that move with the Broncos. That worked out. So there's some interesting things that have gone on, but ultimately I think they have to pay him.
Who's option two after Mark Andrews in the pass game right now?
Man, that's really hard to even say because, I mean, they've been going to DeMarcus Robinson quite a bit. He and Lamar developed a rapport. They were going to Duvernay earlier, but that hasn't been the case. I'm interested to see what Huntley looks like on Sunday if he ends up being the starter like we all assume, and who he goes at because, like, they have options. They kept saying all year long, we want to get Duvernay more. We want to get Duvernay involved more because he's so explosive and can do all these things. They actually removed him from some of the special teams stuff that he was doing just to focus more on this. But I don't know that there is a true number two after Andrews. But I do believe there's that feeling where they just lock onto him and keep targeting Andrews and throwing it up to him, good or bad.
Last thing for you, Jeremy. And again, Jeremy Kahn has been our guest from 105.7 The Fan down in Baltimore. Tim Benz, the Mark Madden Show today. You brought up the defense. So let's go to that angle beyond Roquan, who you talked about already. Who have been the other guys that have really starred? It's been Queen, Clark, Humphrey, Geno Stone's a local guy. I guess he's been getting a little buzz. Hamilton, how's he been? What's been making the defense go besides what we just talked about with Roquan?
Yeah, so Justin Houston in limited snaps is up there as one of the sack leaders. He's been kind of like finding lightning in a bottle. They've done a good job with him. Odafe Owe, the kid they got out of Penn State at the end of the first round last year, has been kind of non-existent this season. I think he just played a handful of snaps on Sunday. But I'm hearing Ojabo, who could come back this week. I'm hearing he looks phenomenal and just kind of gets it. So if you get a premier pass rusher to go in there and this kid works out, you know, good luck to everyone else because that defense has been – Patrick Queen's played so much better with Roquan there. You know, there's been a lot of talk about Marcus Peters. People have been attacking him, and we're used to that, but it seems like there's been more of the downside of it. You take the good and bad with Marcus Peters, he's going to give up big plays, he's going to get turnovers. Well, the turnovers haven't been there, but some of the big plays have been. So a lot of people think he might be a cap casualty at the end of the year. But I like Kyle Hamilton. He got that strip, the fumble in New England, which kind of set the tone. He was playing really well, and then he got hurt in the – he's a Carolina or Jacksonville game, came back the next week. He was fine. He looked pretty good. Still a rookie, still makes some mistakes here and there, but I think he looks good. But it's primarily been that interior that's been leading them. And getting Marcus Williams back, you know, that's the safety they paid all that money to. I think that's going to help them in the long run. But their defense is really solid.
Over under 37.5, Jeremy.
I feel like such a cop-out because I'm a gambling guy, too, in this game. Anytime the Ravens and Steelers play, it really pisses me off because a lot of times I'm looking at the underdog, man. And as soon as I knew you were asking, I was going to go 2017 Steelers, which I feel like is such a cop-out because I'm a half off the total. And here I am with the three-point spread right on the money. So that's what I'll go with. But I do think the Steelers win on Sunday.
Yeah, I said 19-16. I initially thought it might be in the low 20s each, but I've modified that. But I'm kind of like you. I'm right on the field goal line. I'll take the Steelers to cover. I will not play the under because I don't think you give yourself much wiggle room on a 37.5 point line in the NFL. I think you just go over and hope for the best, but I wouldn't be surprised if that thing does get tucked under because it is going to be an offensive slog, I think, even if these two defenses aren't quite as good as they have been in the past. I think they're both good, but I don't think they're quite as good as they have been in the past.
Yeah, no question about that, but I also feel like both of them, even with, you know, Watt being back, that both of these teams have the ability to change the game on that side of the ball. Like, I don't know how many times we've seen defensive touchdowns, special teams touchdowns, or even not even touchdowns, but turnovers that turn into points really quick. You know, if we go back a ways. I still have visions of that Troy Polamalu sack on Flacco.
Sure.
Years and years ago, where it's like, did anybody see him on the line? The guy with the long hair that's been making all the plays all day, you know? So, but it's always a fun time. I always look forward to these games, even when they're ugly, because it just seems like when you feel rivalry, this feels like one, you know, it's like,
yeah, ugly is part of the mystique on this one. Ugly for Broncos and Ravens, 10-9 is just ugly. 10-9 Steelers Ravens is part of the fabric.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you nailed it with that.
Hey, Jeremy, thanks so much. Greatly appreciate it. It was great catching up with you again. Let's do it again, perhaps before New Year's Day. Okay.
You too, man. Absolutely.